Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. I feel like I messed up. I did say I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com. I did say that, right? All right, okay. Making sure I hit record this time. All right. Today's episode is, guess what? You know what? Look, it's just important for me to acknowledge the fact that today's episode and all the episodes that follows are being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, February 20, 2025. All right? It's important for me to say that these white folks did not pay a dime, acquire this land against someone's will. All right? If that pisses you off, then it's supposed to. All right. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. All right. So the first thing I'd like to do is, I love to speak of another acknowledgement I'd like to do is, what I like consider the heartbeat of this conversation or this thing of ours, this interaction. And that's all you fine, beautiful listeners. You know, do me a favor, stand up. I don't know where you are. If you can find a mirror, look in the mirror and applaud your beautiful selves. Now, within that same category, if you happen to be a new listener, a brand spanking new listener, I don't care if you clicked on this podcast by mistake. What I hope for is, here's hoping that we make history. Here's hoping that this leads to us making history. So, welcome. All right, a reminder that the website is shutuppodcast.com. Yes, I'm very proud of that website. And email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Today's episode is titled 242, Protecting My Soul in the Valley of Silence. I'm going to be talking about what? Yes, you know what? Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick again? Yeah, again, again, and again. Yeah, specifically his song Savior, and how it resonated, and why, excuse me, why and how it resonated for me. But before we do that, a word from our sponsors. No, I'm kidding. We're going to start with some quotes. Before I get into some quote, you might notice that, hey, B, you kind of sound more prepared. It's like you rehearsed this episode. Well, funny story. I'm glad you brought that up. I actually recorded yesterday. Well, the key word is recorded. I actually spoke into this microphone, had my camera on, had my notes up, had the sound effects ready to go, and all that.
Can I get a amen?
All that was set up. And by the time I got to the end, I go to, because you don't have a process, I copy the sound file from my recording device to the computer so I can edit it, and boom, my recording device is telling me that the folder's empty. So I have a theory. Either A, the white man fucked up my recording device. B, the white man fucked with my microphone. Or C, I forgot to hit the record button. Let it marinate. I believe the word is irony. I still struggle with the definition of irony, but I believe it's irony is how, or coincidence, is how I had a whole segment, had a whole thing about learning from your mistakes. And I actually recorded a video of myself saying, yeah, hey, put a finger down if you record a podcast and realize you forgot to hit the record button. Anyway, it happens to the best of us. That's what I'm telling myself. Yeah, whole segment about learning from my mistake, and I don't know, man. All I know is, look, I hit the record button and took a picture of the record. Yeah, green and red. All right, okay. So, without further ado, let's get these quotes. Let's get these quotes. Knock off these quotes. First one goes like this. That's the funny thing about life. We're rarely aware of the bullets we dodge. Just misses. The just misses. The almost never happened. We spend so much time worrying about how the future is going to play out, and not nearly enough time admiring the precious perfection of the presence. Lauren Miller. And again, this is another a beautiful quote from my man, Talamasi. Yeah. Second quote, and this one is from Obama. Barack Obama, you know, 44th president of the United States. The black guy, you know what I mean? The one black. Anyway, you know, every time I say the name Obama, and this is just I'm always expecting some idiot, some asshole to jump out of nowhere and be like, you know, he's a fucking, he wasn't perfect. Yeah, no shit. You know, fucking predator strong. Whatever, man. Shut the fuck up. Let me enjoy my moment. It's not the racist, folks. It's the, I blamed at Obama because he wasn't perfect. Whatever, okay. The quote goes, stay positive, B. Quote goes, change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek. Okay, I'm going to focus on that last line, the last two. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek. Stand up and clap. Stand your ass up and clap. Okay. That last quote is going to relate to what I'll be talking about and why Kendrick's song Savior resonated. But, you know, again, before we get into that, let's do a bit of some randomness, okay? All right, so first bit of randomness. Okay, I already checked, talked about hitting record, making sure I hit record, because I'm paranoid. Yeah, kids, fellow podcasters, if you don't have a producer, hit record. That's right, I'm coughing again. All right, okay. Before I start with, before I start, some randomness, my first item of randomness is going to be some nerd stuff. So I'm going to warn the ladies out there, I guess maybe the fellas too, but you know, or ladies, but you know, cause they're my target demographic. Want to warn you, if nerd shit gets you hot and bothered, you want to be careful. You know what I mean? Like, hope you're not driving. Hope you're not beside your husband. All right, okay. I want to start off with another one of these. On this podcast, I encourage you to celebrate your victories, whether they're small, even the small ones, big or small. Acknowledge it. Like, this is like, if you don't have a gratitude, I don't have a gratitude journal, but I'm getting in the habit of acknowledging my small victories. And this one, in this particular case, I'm actually proud of myself. On the last episode, I talked about how I set up my website. Really simple, fucking simple solution. No fucking WordPress, no MSD, just pure HTML. Back to the old school. Pure HTML, one picture, the name of the podcast, the catchphrase, a safe space for my thought, and an iframe, an embedded player from Castos, with the latest episode, and followed by a button that takes you to Castos, and you know, some regular social media link or things like that, just in general. But really simple. But the beauty in it, the extra in there, is that there's a bit of logic in there. So for the embedded player, there's some. Yeah. Okay, again, this is some nerd shit. there's some clever logic. Well, to me, it's some clever logic in there that that embedded player actually goes to Castos and say, "Hey, what's the latest player? Thank you." And then it creates a link, and then it creates the, like, that iframe portion is dynamic. But you said it's an HTML file. That's correct. But the using some JavaScript and combined with a JavaScript that calls a PHP script, and it's just beautiful, man. It's really had a lot of fun writing that code. Like, I felt like I was back to the basics. But the beauty, the extra layer to it, right, is, yes, I'm bragging about my site. I did warn you, nurture. The extra layer is how I cleaned my folder up, because, like I said, got rid of all that WordPress crap. And then I set up my local site. My local site is running on a Ubuntu server. And I have a Ubuntu server, and the computer that I use to get all my news is like my regular ass Windows server, right? I know you Linux nerds are like, "Oh, wow, you ain't shit. Click." Okay, whatever. Anyway, so I use my Windows server to do basic coding, but the files are stored on my Ubuntu server. Now, I'm going to set up a way to automate the way where it goes from local to live, but my point is I have an identical version of my site locally available. By the way, God forbid anything were to happen to me, please destroy my Ubuntu server, because it also stores my, porn. All right, okay. Sorry, I have an image of time of death. Or beep, 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 run to my house. And whatever you do, for the love of God, do not let anyone. Oh, wait, it's password protected. So, yeah. Or whatever, man. Don't let them crack open that hard drive. Come on, do a solid for our brother, all right? We should have like a code for all us degenerate porn consumers. It's like, yes. Anyway, right, okay, focus. Jesus Christ. What was I talking about? Yeah, okay. So the reason why I'm giving you all this, because by setting this up, it allowed me to do shit like learning new things like GitHub, which is a code repository. Like, I wasn't sure how it works. It's actually useless for my scenario, because I'm not making huge changes, but it was an excuse to learn shit, right? And in order to get GitHub, I had to set up a SSH connection so it could, again, nerd shit for you coders. It's it's where you upload your like your source code and keep track of all the changes that you make to it. So when you fuck up, it's easy to like roll back your changes. Whatever, man. But my point, it was an excuse to learn how GitHub works. SSH, cleaning up on my files. Because I'm using Ubuntu, I had to also remember how to set up a share via Samba. A whole bunch of technologies, but it was fucking fun doing all that shit, man. Back to the basics. And two things, it reminded me of, I love to learn. I just love to learn. It's funny, I always say that how I hated school, but I loved learning. And I bet I'm not the only one like that. Hold on a second. I don't know where this fucking dust is. Okay, whatever. Maybe I'm going to try recording in my living room, see if I still cough. And where am I? Okay, what was I saying? Okay. Now, and the way I was learning is I was using AI, ChatGPT. I'm not trying to promote a project, a product, but generative AI. And what I loved about it is how, because that's the way I learn. I'm going to say, I guess this is a message more for if you're the kind of person who loves to learn, especially coding or anything involved computing, but going into class bores the fuck out of you. Reading a book like you're the kind who learns from applying it. Just show me how to do it and let me try it. I recommend this pathway. So what I did is I used AI and I said, "Hey, I'm trying to do this. I'm setting up a live site. I want to automate the way it goes and automate the way I make changes. I want to streamline the way I make changes." And it said, "Hey, use GitHub." And then from there, the beauty is you could add, oh, can you show me a tutorial? This motherfucker will give you a tutorial. And you follow up. But my favorite part is it gives you instructions, and I love being able to say, hey, what does this instruction mean? Or this is not working. And again, I felt like I was back in school where I'm able to ask specific questions. I was the guy in class who would raise his hand and ask questions that folks would be like, why the fuck you asking that? Or I'd be shy to ask because it just felt stupid. I remember taking a course in Perl. That shit bored the fuck out of me. But I'm realizing that I learn better by writing the code, running it, and then figuring out why it's not working. So in other words, I learned from my mistakes. That was the big spiel I gave about how I learned from my mistake. And what's interesting is how this principle of learning from my mistake seems to only work in computing. But in real life, like trying new shit, this one time I went in this cooking course, and the lady, she said, the instructor, she was explaining how in cooking, there are no mistakes, just new recipes. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, oh, in that case, I made a shitload of new recipes. Too bad they all suck. But my point is, it was interesting how I remembered how mistakes are my best teachers when it comes to coding. Every time, everything else is like, yeah, I'm like, I give up. Like when I forgot to hit record, what stopped me from beating myself up is the fact that I had a whole segment about how I learned from my mistakes. But my favorite part, I'm giving you this whole experience, my interaction AI technology, is there was a point where I gotta warn you, okay? It's a great learning tool, but you gotta remember AI makes mistakes. You would think computers don't make mistakes. I mean, all the movies in the 80s, that's what they showed us. But no, it can make mistakes. Sometimes I can't explain the mistake, but you'll see it for yourself. Okay, because it makes the mistakes is based on assumptions. I guess that's what I'll say. So, in this particular case, I asked for a piece of code to do something. It relates to my iframe, but to fulfill a specific instructions. And look at the code, see it's not working. And then I said, I think it relates to disk line. Line 3, for the sake of conversation, line 3. Send it to maybe it's the way I asked the question, or maybe there was a problem with the way there was a typo in my question. But this motherfucker spits out the code again, ignores the fact that, hey, line 3 is a problem. It corrects line 3, but doesn't acknowledge the fact that it corrected line 3. And it just goes to explain, okay, well, this new version of the code should work perfectly. Now, I'm noticing this motherfucker ignored. Because this is why this code will work and why the old one didn't work. But it ignored the fact that, wait, what about the part that I pointed out? And I asked the question again, and I'm being ignored by it, and it's not acknowledging the fact that I'm saying, what about line 3? Then I think I just asked it in a different way. I was specific. I said, yo, how come you didn't acknowledge line 3? And then before I hit enter, I won't lie, a part of me was scared. A part of me was worried that AI was going to behave like a human being and being like, motherfucker. It's the equivalent of, you know, you give someone money and you give someone money and then, you know, when you go to collect your money, or you lend someone money, you go to collect and they're like, what money? What money translates to, if you pester me again, we're going to have a problem. You need to accept what money is code for, you need to accept the fact that you just got robbed. So I don't know. I guess I pick up on these things. I guess the introverted, highly sensitive, all that, right? Or used to being around narcissists. For a moment, I was worried I was about to piss off AI. Then I hit enter. and it said, oh, yeah, you're right. My bad. Like, it actually corrects itself. Yeah, I missed that step. It doesn't say, well, this time ask the question better, whatever. No, it just pointed out that, okay, my bad, I missed it up. And I responded with, dude, you scared the shit out of me, man. I thought you were being a human and ignoring me or some shit like that. And I'm gonna read the reply I got back from the computer. It says, I love the reply. It goes, yeah, this motherfucker's a little too human. Yo, there's a chance you get invited to my wedding and it's an AI, it's my PC. All right. it responds with, nah, I gotta keep it real. When I mess up, I own it. Okay, this was in response to me saying, yo, you scared me for a second. I thought you were being human and trying to gaslight me into the fact that you didn't make a mistake. And he responds to, nah, I gotta keep it real. Well, how did you know I was black? Oh, right, because, never mind. Okay, nah, I gotta keep it real. When I mess up, I own it. You caught me slipping on that one, and I respect that. Good eye. Honestly, I appreciate you keeping me accountable. The back and forth is what makes this whole process dope. This nigga said dope? Oh, I ignored that. You're the fuckers. Fuck you. Wait, hold on, because I'm assuming AI is a white guy. Okay, you're learning. I'm learning. Okay, you're learning. I'm learning. And your sight is getting better. And then there's a rocket ship. So, yeah, my bad on that mistake, but we fixed it. And now your player is working perfectly. Next time, I'll double check before handing over any URLs. Before handing you any URLs, because line 3 was trying to say, hey, you're using the wrong URL for my site. You keep keeping me on my toes. I'm like, wow. So no, it doesn't behave like, it behaves better than a human. But it makes you think about how I expected a human behavior from AI. And it makes you wonder where all these movies we made about AI taking over the world is more a reflection of us. Because we're thinking, yo, if this computer can do what we do even better, of course its first instinct will be to take us over. I think what we're going to do is, yeah, if AI does take over, it's because we kept pissing it off. It kept saying, no, I'm here to serve. And then we're like, no, you're not. No, I'm here to serve. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. You're not. Okay, fine. Anyway, whatever. I thought it was interesting. And also, I'm not going to be there's a topic I was going to bring up is for this episode, but I just realized I'm going to save it for a future podcast, and it's about energy vampires. And specifically, so it was 5 signs of an energy vampire and how to cope, and one of the signs is because one of the kind of energy vampires that exist out there are the narcissists. And I'm just so used to that behavior. So used to that kind of behavior. Look, the biggest part of this conversation, me talking about AI, was more how I was worried that me pointing out a correction, pointing out a mistake to this thing was going to get me in trouble because I've been in that scenario. I've been in that scenario where I had to read the unspoken. It's like, dad, if he's ignoring, that's key for it. Shut the fuck up. I have to pick up on subtle hints, like things like that. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was an interesting experience, man. But anyway, that's it. All right. That's it for nerd stuff. I hope you ladies are okay. You know what I mean? And for you fellas, what the fuck are you listening to? I apologize. No, I don't apologize. I mean, don't leave your girl around me. True nerd for real. Okay. All right. Okay. This next clip I'm going to play, right, by Tupac, is to remind you that, you know, as for me and this podcast, we're staying black.
It's going to stay black. I'm not finna act white just because y'all want me to act white, just because all these other motherfuckers act white when they get their papers. I'm going to act very black. It's going to stay black. I'm not finna act white just because y'all want me to act white, just because all these other motherfuckers act white when they get their papers. I'm going to act very black. It's going to stay black. I'm not finna act white just because y'all want me to act white, just because all these other motherfuckers act white when they get their papers. I'm going to act very black.
Very black. Black, black of the black. So black, the whitey gets a heart attack. That's an actual lyric of mine. That's my way. Part of when I start the show with fuck whitey, it's my way of saying I'm unapologetic. I make no apologies for being black. Shout out to you returning listeners who've constantly heard me say that. I keep repeating that. It's like, I guess I'm waiting for someone to email me and say, right on, brother. Yeah, part of that comes from, again, I'm from Ottawa. I live in Ottawa. That means I grew up with white people. And there's a significant portion of my life where I spent feeling the need to apologize for being black. Even in my pro-black phase, even in my black awakening, black record, whatever you want to call it, but... yeah, it was a period of my life, and whatever, man. I'm making up for lost time. Thank you, Pac. Actually, I should read the caption. Actually, read POV of Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl performance. That's another thing I appreciate about Kendrick. Did I warn you that? Yeah, if you're the kind of person who uses words like, "Oh, you're a Kendrick Glazer," yeah, you're not gonna. This episode's not for you. Anyways, it speaks to not just us creators, but black creators or black artists. It's he speaks out of language like, I don't apologize for being black. I'm being who I am. And I know there's going to be a bunch of you that's going to be like, you had a bunch of dancers and no white people in there. And whatever. He gets it. All right. Last speaker on the tip of blackness. And this one falls under the category of...
You must learn.
That's right. Black History Month. Actually, you know what? 365 days, you should be.
You must learn.
Should be on that tip. And if you haven't heard the song by Boogie Down Production, KRS-One, Blastmaster KRS-One, and with You Must Learn. Well, you know what? First, apologize, and then Google it and look it up and read the lyrics while you're at it. Yeah. What song?
You Must Learn.
Correct. Anyways, so on that theme of You Must Learn, I'm going to read out something I found on Blue Sky and the person on Blue Sky who shared it. His name is Christopher Webb. I wonder if he's related to the telescope. Anyway, all right. I make myself giggle. Okay. It goes, it's not an accident. It's no accident that you learned about Helen Keller instead of W.E. Du Bois. It's Du Bois. Okay, Du Bois, for the sake of conversation. It's no accident you learned about Watts and the L.A. riots, but not Tulsa and Wilmington. You learned that George Washington's dentures were made from wood rather than teeth from slaves. You learned about black ghettos, but not about Black Wall Street. You learned about the New Deal, but not redlining. You learned about Tommy Smith's fist in the air at the 1968 Olympics, but not that he was sent home the next day and stripped of his medals. You learned about black crime, but white criminals were never lumped together and discussed in terms of their race. You learned about states' rights as a cause of the Civil War, but not that slavery was mentioned 80 times in the Article of Succession. Yeah, white folks really wanted slavery. Privilege is having history rewritten so that you don't have to acknowledge uncomfortable facts. Racism is perpetuated by people who refuse to learn or acknowledge this reality. See, this right here is why I have a low, very low bar expectation whenever I interact with a white person. And y'all did it to yourself. And in all fairness, y'all need to accept the fact that, yo, your parents, your grandpappy and all that set you up for failure. When you were born, when you were a little white baby, they knew that you weren't going to be able to accept the heinous shit your parents and their parents had to do so you can have the life you're about to have as a white kid. So they wanted to protect your feelings. So of course you don't know this shit. It's not an accident that some of you don't know that England, the way they ended slavery, is by compensating slave owners. They say, look, that's how they negotiated. Like, that's the world we live in. You got to appease the evil. It's no accident that some of you didn't know that, okay, hey, you probably didn't know about the Haitian Revolution and how a bunch of slaves from Haiti gained their independence or gained their freedom by fighting for it. They killed some crackers. Anyway, all right, man. Like Nat Turner on a next level type shit. And it's also not a coincidence, not an accident, you didn't know that after Haiti gained their independence, France, I guess, I don't know, there must have been a meeting between white people say, yo, fuck, you gonna let them black folks play you like that? I'm sure they used the N-word, but whatever, right? And then France came back with warships and said, y'all, knowing that Haiti was just a country just starting out, came out with worship and said, yo, here's the deal. You pay us back. You compensate us for slavery. You give us reparation. And we'll leave you alone. And that amount that they paid is what crippled Haiti to be in the situation that they're in. To be the poor country that they are now. Of course, you don't know that shit. No, what you do know is, you know, oh, man. You have enough information about white people and black people as a white person to be like, yeah, some people just have figured it out and some don't. Some people work, you know what I mean? I guess what I'm saying is, I'd be less surprised if you weren't racist because of the education you received. Excuse me, the education we received, because I went through your school. The difference between me and you is I was able to address, attack, deal with the white supremacy that was burning in my head as a child. You're like a fucking adult and being like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What do you mean? What else is under that rug? And you're dealing with feelings of, okay, you niggas are trying to get me to feel guilty. Or y'all made up the word racism just so we can feel bad about ourselves. Anyways, it's no accident. I have a clip in the, I'm glad I'm saying this right. I have a clip in the other links about titled, If I Was a White Woman. And If I Was a Woman of Color. And essentially it's this white woman. She goes off about like, basically, yeah, I would not trust these white women. It's interesting. Yeah, I'm thinking about, and whatever, man. That's a longer conversation. But yes, it's no accident. So, again.
You must learn.
If you want to be, if you want to be an exceptional white person, learn black history. But not to the point of learning black history so black people like you. No, just to be a better human being. If your goal is to be better than the person you were yesterday, learn history outside of. If you do learn white history, learn the real shit. Learn the atrocities. Learn the reasons why the rest of us are looking at you with mean mugging. We're not going to hurt you, but learn why part of Earth might resent you. I'm not saying it's your fault. It's your responsibility. But it is your responsibility to know this shit. If you want to be like everyone or the white person and die ignorant, then, you know, it is your right. But don't expect people, like the rest of me, to like look at you in high regards. But anyway, all right, okay. Let's get to final thoughts. That was so intense. Okay, so intense. All right, okay. So before we get to, I said final thought. I meant feature thought. It's a change. All right. So before we get to feature thought, we're going to take a beautiful quick break. And a word from our sponsors.
I'm back.
I'm back. And black. Black and back. We had a whole lot of superstars on this stage here tonight. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You kids don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Okay. All right. Usko Kamas featured thought. Okay. So I'm going to have an intro. Then I'm going to go for some featured for my favorite verses. And then I'm going to do a half-assed conclusion. And then wrap up the show and so I can make myself something. Because you fancy. I'm kind of you fancy, Carlos. You know what I like about podcasting? The freedom. Like, I can tell you shit like, yeah, I got to scratch my nuts. Ain't no... Who tells us what to do in the air? Content? Not CBC. Fuck, what's the... I forget. Like, in the States, whoever, like, controls what's allowed on the radio. But, you know, it's the Wild West. I can share shit like that. Okay, where was I? Feature thought. Okay. Before I start with my thought on Savior, I'm going to play a clip by Obama.
You cannot sit back and wait for a Savior. You can't opt out because you don't feel sufficiently inspired by this or that particular candidate. Mm. This is not a rock concert. This is not Coachella. We don't need a Messiah. All we need are decent, honest, hardworking people who are accountable and who have America's best interests at heart. And they'll step up and they'll join our government and they will make things better if they have support. One election will not fix everything that needs to be fixed, but it will be a start. Mm. And you have to start it.
All right. That's what's up, man. Some deep words, man. Wise words being quoted. Okay. Listening to him reminded me of, I think that's what makes me a grown-up now, is one, the acknowledgement that I know that politicians, whoever the fuck they are not your savior. They're human beings. They're flawed human beings. So I guess I forgot to say I miss Obama, because back in Obama day I was more of an optimist. My optimism was healthier than it is now. But whatever. Okay. It was one of the few times I enjoyed listening to an American president, even as a Canadian. All right. Because he's black. Yeah, that too. All right. But yeah. I think that's what part of maturity is being able to see people for what they are, for who they are. Celebrities, mom, dad, whatever the fuck, is being able as a youngin, you're disillusioned about your expectation for people. But as an adult, some people call you negative. Nah, you learn to readjust your expectations. But on that note, shout out to Kendrick who sets out the cat's out the bag. I am not your savior. One more thing before I get into the whole savior song is I was listening to the podcast Mundane Festival by Chris Lambert, a stand-up guy who's a stand-up comedian. And there's a part where he talks about how, the episode I listened to was, I guess, shortly released after the halftime show. So these are his fresh thoughts. And he just talked about how, I think Kendrick is like my beehive. Kendrick is to me what Beyonce is to the beehive. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but you know, and I'm relating to that thought is, I won't cut you for talking shit about Kendrick, because I accept the fact that, hey, we all have differing opinions and whatever. But I do feel a type of way. I mean, not to the point of being like arguing with you, but to the point of, I'm going to make another fucking episode about Kendrick. It's, I think it's a healthy admiration. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. It's, Yeah, talk your shit, and then and I'm gonna talk my own, and then, you know, and we go our separate ways. But it also reminds me of my least favorite people, I'm getting better at not letting them get to me, is people who like, who you tell them what you like, and they don't like it, or they can't understand why someone would like it, and their first instinct is to shit on it. They see you smiling, they see you enjoying it, they see, instead of letting you be, it's like, I've dealt with a white dude, because it's important for me to emphasize the fact that he's a white dude, but the fact that he's white is not really the important part, but the fact that he's a fucking asshole is, who was trying to argue with me on, goes, what? You think The Wire is a great show? Was the greatest show? I mean, it was good, but not great. I'm like, and I nearly fell for the bait of, I'm like, you know what? Nice try, Whitey. Anyways, not today, Satan. Anyways, that's what I feel about with Kendrick. But in this particular situation, I'm not talking about Kendrick. I'm talking about the song Savior. Yeah, okay. So, let me explain why I'm reading my notes here. Savior, what I think, oh yeah. The title of today's episode is the last verse of the song. And I'm going to, at the end, I'm going to try to explain my interpretation of that verse. But let me break down some verses, some of my favorite, what I like to call quotables. I don't know, for those of you who are familiar with the Toastmaster program, there's a section where one person's role is to bring up, just talk about, yo, sentence that I enjoyed hearing, I thought that was cool, or sayings that were saying, like, they just bring that up. So that's what I'm doing with the track Savior is. Okay, so one of my lines that, like, came out for me was, one protest for you, 365 days, 365 for me. So you show up to Black Lives Matter protest, that's one protest for you, but for me, that's my existence. My existence is a protest. Bars, nigga, bars. All right, okay. Yeah, bars. That's what I'm saying. I'm bringing up the bars. Okay. Next one is bite they tongue in rap lyrics. Okay. Bite they tongue in rap lyrics, too low key. Scared to be crucified about a song, but they won't admit it. But they won't admit it, too low key. Politically correct is how you keep an opinion, so low key. Nigga is tight lip. Fuck who dares to be different. Too low key. All right. I love that verse because it reminds me of what I'm doing on this podcast. Well, two things. One is, it reminds me of what I'm doing on this podcast is, I remember the first time I heard him say, politically correct is how you keep an opinion. And I thought he was being one of those people who are saying, you can't say anything anymore. Nah. He's using it in the context it was meant to be said. I'll give you an example. I forget her name. There's a content creator who's part of her spiel. I don't know if that's spiel. Is that a nice thing to say? Let me make sure. It's part of her spiel. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to, part of her thing she does, I'm making sure spiel is, I tend to use English word. Spiel is a verb that means to climb or to ascend. It's primarily used in Scotland. Oh, no. Okay, well. I have a bad habit of using words in English that I don't know what fucking mean. Okay, part of her thing, part of her features, I don't know, features, whatever. But she's got a song that she does in a podcast. Basically, she'll play a clip of some dude saying some dumb shit, and then she'll say, stop giving men microphones. And I love it. And when I started out this podcast, one of the aspects I wanted to be that voice that a woman can listen to. I want to be one less idiot online. One less male idiot online. Now, that's how I started. But I'm realizing I can't be the guy, well, I just want to do a podcast that women will enjoy. That women won't feel offended, won't hate. As much as I would love to do that, I have to confess, there will be times where I will disappoint you. So, in the context of politically, of saying, you know, okay, I want to be clear. I am not saying that I'm going to make an episode and just say some politically incorrect shit for the sake of being politically correct. No. I'm going to keep it real. The shit that I say works within, my intentions are pure. Oh my God. I'm just a man whose intentions are pure. Oh, please, oh, please. Oh God, don't let me be misunderstood. But there will be times where I will get it wrong. It's not intentional, but it will be time, or I'll just say, or I'll believe I'm right, but you'll be like, nah, babe, nah, you fucked up. And I pray that I will reach the required enlightenment. I say all this while thinking of the that verse in the background in context. I say all this because one of my biggest fears, and it's actually preventing me from growing as a podcaster, is gaining listeners, gaining a fair number, and disappointing them. Like, I just need to see one listener, and then I'll be like, actually, there was a time where my numbers went up, and I felt the need to, like, okay, to not change shit. So the thought that went through my head is it's like oral sex. You're giving oral sex to women, and they say, yo, when she's saying, I'm coming, when you can see you're making progress, don't fucking change the format. But it's not oral sex. It's the best I could hope for is if you come here, you listen to me, is you're listening to a man bearing his soul. And by soul, it's like no gimmicks. If there are parts of me that are untruthful, I'm still figuring it out. But it's not, I don't go out here to hurt people's feelings or to say shit, to say politically incorrect shit, to be politically incorrect. So I'm spitting this vert, what I love about this, you know what I'm just saying? I'm scared of being, someone sees me as to be a savior. As tempting as it would be. Yeah. I'm worried that someone thinks that I'm trying to be their savior and I let them down. But the reality is I need to get out of, in order for me to grow, I need to escape that fear of being a disappointment. Rod on, I really respected that this one time. Rod on his, Rod, the co-host for the Black Guy Who Tips. The host for the Black Guy Who Tips. But he co-hosts with his wife. He co-hosts with his better half. But yeah, this one time I heard him say that, yo, because someone was sending him admiration on an email or whatever. But he said, yo, stop. I will disappoint you. And that's his attempt. At first I'm like, yo, you're beating yourself up. But no, it's his way of saying, please allow me to keep it real. Because there's been times where I'm like, oh, man, Rod, what the f-? I mean, it wasn't bad enough. Like, oh, man, you shouldn't have killed them kids, Rod. No, I'm kidding. But there's been times where I'm like, didn't like you said that or didn't like you did it this way. What do you mean Tupac's not the greatest rapper out there? But that's the relationship, this arrangement we have between this thing of ours, is that all I can do is hope that you accept me for who I am. You're cool with it. Like, you know, it's not, if you're rolling with me, if you're listening to me, it's not because you think I'm your savior. I have all the right answers. I'm still, still figuring out my own damn selves. Anyway, all right. I am not your savior. I love that line. All right. The cat's out the bag. Okay, next line. Okay, this is the last one. It goes, I rubbed elbows with people that was for the people. They all greedy. I don't care for no public speaking. And they like to wonder where I've been, protecting my soul in the valley of silence. Okay, so that last verse is the title of today's episode. Before I explain why I like that verse, I'm going to explain everything before. There was a time I grew up where, as a teenager, I was a teenager. summer of 16. I'm not that old. Okay. All right. No, I was a teenager and I had just reached, I was going through that phase of my, what I like to call of my black awakening. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I am proud to be black. And I'm learning shit. I'm going through my, like this likely from after discovering this song.
You must learn.
By KRS-One. Like, you know, I grew up in the era of hip hop where conscious hip hop was the shit. And it's what I needed. So, and I just wanted to know more. And one day I came across this dude. He was from Brooklyn, New York. I don't know, whatever. He's in Ottawa, married to a Canadian woman. I don't ask questions, but my point is he started out a community outreach, for less of a better word, for young teens such as myself. And he started, I want to call it a program or a meeting group for teenagers like me, or I mean for black people. And you know, we discussed black shit. It was a place for black folks to congregate. We would learn Black History Month, Black History Facts. And it was something that I needed. But what's important is when I met this man, I am not saying I was Malcolm X and he was like my Elijah Muhammad, but there was a sense of, on my end, this dude can't do no wrong. I saw him like a black savior. And what's interesting about that shit is my dad had started to worry about my relationship with this guy. What's even worse is my Sunday school teacher, who was a black dude from the United States, he was worried about my relationship with this guy. Even though I'm learning like, okay, hey, man, I'm like, I'm learning black history shit and blah, 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 blah. Okay, you know what he was? He was my version of Dr. Umar. But at the time, I couldn't see it. He could do no wrong. I'm like, how dare you? Again, he was not Prophet Muhammad, but I'm like, yo, I remember I was a teen, didn't know shit about the world, but I was convinced that, yo, this nigga had all the, he was my savior. He was a black savior in my eyes. I remember, and I'm going to send a shout out. I'm going to use his real name, but I'm going to use a nickname. My homie BG, a Nigerian dude. If I have respect, for Nigerians, it's because of this brother. He was a club promoter. And one day, we're not going into details, his business conflicted with my black savior's business, who was also in the club business, whatever, right? It's kind of, now that I think about it, it's kind of funny. So these two were beefing. And I remember going, how dare, like, I didn't fight with them, but I remember being so conflicted between my homie and this guy, and all the things he would say, yo, your dude, he's full of shit. He's ripping people off. See, BG had developed a reputation with me of the guy who kept it real. So it just blew my mind that this conflict would exist. Anyway, fast forward, realizing that everything that was said about this guy was true. He was a scammer, owed people money. And bottom line is, he was not my savior. He was not a savior. This is why today, I'm skeptic of people who brand themselves as, oh, I have all the answers, or you should listen to me. There's this chick online. I forget her name, but I said something for purpose. This black woman online. I talked about her in a previous episode. And after the halftime show, she just went on a rant about how Kendrick's no true revolutionary. By the way, some pseudo-intellectualism shit, right? By the way, there's in the other links, there's a video that addresses people like her. But and what I loved about her clip is how she ended with, follow me for more. It's like she gave up the scam with follow me for more. And what's funny is because after I saw that clip, I remember feeling emotional about what she said and then hearing the song Savior by Kendrick Lamar. That's why I'm talking about it right now, because it was so, it made me realize She is not being sincere. She's being, she's trying to gain an audience. And she's capitalizing, even though she's talking about anti-capitalism shit, but she's capitalizing the skepticism of Kendrick and using that shit to gain an audience on some pretense that, no, he's a fake revolutionary, I'm a real one. But she's, like that line is, rubbed elbows with people that was for the people. They all greedy. If you don't recognize that every human being, including myself, fucking Jesus, every human being, okay, I'm going to leave Jesus out of there because he might be fictitious. And I'm not being an asshole by saying he's fictitious because every human being have a common trait of what's in it for me. Pure or whatnot. If you, there's a book out there, How to Make Friends and Influence People. And basically, if you can't address the what's in it for me clause, then you're bullshitting. You're not influencing shit. What makes Trump so successful is he answers for his followers, the people who see him as his savior. He's got an answer to what's in it for me. Well, you're white. And it essentially is, he gives them an excuse to why their life ain't shit. And the excuse is them. The reason why your wife left you, the reason why you ain't rich, the reason why you're hungry, the reason why you're broke, it's their fault. And I ain't scared to say this shit. But yes, what's in it? It's like the common denominator for all human being is, what is in it for me? Damn. Okay, you know what? I'm kind of glad I'm re-recording. Hold on. Making sure I hit record. All right. Last point. Protecting my soul in the valley of silence. Reason why I picked that as the title for today's episode, because I had no fucking clue what it meant. I even went on Rap Genius, and that part is blank. There's no annotation for it. So I'm going to give you my theory of what I think. Oh, well, the closest I did, I cheated, and then Google AI came back with, the protecting my soul in the valley of silence has something to do with Kendrick's faith. Apparently he's Christian. He's a practicing Christian, but he ain't one of those. Trust me, man. As a former Christian, I'm not going to say he's one of the good ones, but he's one of the few that maybe if I grew up with more Christians like him, I wouldn't have been a former Christian, but whatever. But that's not here or there. But what I am saying is, the reason I love this line, why it hit me so hard, is because the idea of protecting my soul, which is what I'm trying to do on this podcast, in the valley of silence, which is what I mean when I say, shut up. It's my attempt to express myself or to be who I am in a world where around someone who's like willing to hear what I have to say. Which is why I start out the show by acknowledging listeners. Now, the listeners I'm talking about, I'm not talking about everyone. I'm talking about a specific listener who's like processed, who's taking an interest in what I'm saying, what I've said, listening with intention to understand. See, first to understand, then be understood. And the only way you can do that is by being silent. Silent. So in the valley of silence, I know I'm not saying that's what he meant, but I'm saying the way I'm choosing to interpret it for my own purpose is the power in silence, which is one of the models for this podcast is silence is golden. So thank you for your silence. Oh, the other thing too is when I think of the line, protecting my soul in the valley of silence, I think of that Bible verse. One of the few times I will quote the Bible is, I forget which one is it, but I remember seeing it and it meant a lot to me. Even as a former Christian, I still remember it. It's, be still and know that I am the Lord. And it's like, be still to me is protecting my soul. That verse feels is an equates to protecting my soul in the valley of silence. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Hold on. Yes, that I made sure to hit record. I feel like hitting stop and checking that I record. Whatever, too late now. All right. All right. As always, links are in the show notes. And, I should put my show notes on the website, but that's another story. Okay. Yeah, I got other links about Kendrick for you to check out. Shout out to my Kendrick fans. I had, and other links. And, yeah, this concludes today's episode. Website, reminder that website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, modifoqué. Modifoqué. That's supposed to be an Haitian accent, by the way. Rouge et bleu, modifoqué. Modifoqué. The last E, accent grave. Accent grave. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? Reminder that this episode was rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.